Hello, welcome to Skaven Bite Radio. It's Skaven Dan and
Dan, also known as Bodacious on the forums.
Well, Bodacious is kind of new to the pod, so this one might be a little rusty, but I'm sure we'll get there.
Yeah, well, I've never been on a podcast before, but I've always wanted to, so it's my big moment.
5 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
So I've got down here that we're going to talk about as last things before the last podcast. So what have you been up to for the last 6 months?
A lot actually since August, but for the past few weeks, I've been working on my Raven Guard actually, so not a lot to do with Skaven. But I've also been looking into getting started with Age of Sigmar, and reading up on some of the books as well. So maybe hoping to talk about that later.
Well, I'm sure there's plenty of interest in that topic, to be fair.
Yeah, well, we've been seeing like people come talk about it on the forums, too. Like people getting back into Age of Sigmar now that the dust has settled.
Well, I'm not sure exactly how far that's going to go, but we'll see, I suppose. Time will tell on which system is actually more popular.
Yeah, I think for the time being, we should probably take responsibility as a Skaven podcast and just cover all the systems.
Well, wherever there are Skaven, I'm sure we'll have something to talk about. So,
Ratkin or Vermin or whatever.
Yeah, I don't actually know what they're called in Kings of War yet, but
yeah. Should I maybe explain who I am a bit, because I've introduced myself, but I don't know if Bodacious from the forums is enough of an introduction.
Well, it's completely up to you, dude. You can introduce yourself if you wish. I suppose it is your first official EU podcast, so
EU.
Oh yeah, we're not in Europe, are we? UE, yeah. Sorry.
We are EU actually, but
we are not.
Well, you're not. We're gonna
from beneath you.
It'd probably be smart to just explain a bit who I am and why I'm here and what my history is with Skaven, really, because like it's a Skaven podcast and I've been a Skaven player for a really long time, so it might be like a good idea for people to know that what my like experiences have been, and where I'm coming from like which angle.
Well, the clock is ticking, dude. So you're on air.
Yeah. Okay. I've been playing Warhammer for I think from since I was 17, so that's 11 years I think now. Around that time, and back when I started, Skaven was my first army. When I saw all of my friends that we were starting, I had a group of friends that were starting Warhammer at the same time, pretty much the same time. And I was like Skaven when it was time for everyone to choose like an army that we were gonna play. Like the first thing that popped into my eyes was like a Skaven. So I always like having an army that you don't see much like among your friends, like armies like elves and dwarves are always popular. There's always someone playing those armies. So when I saw Skaven, I'd never seen anything like it before. I've never seen any game. I was thought it was really weird for a game to actually make miniatures or something that I've never seen before. So that I immediately like got the Skaven army book, the sixth edition Skaven army book at the time, and I got my first box of Glenrets, and I've been playing Skaven ever since. I only stopped when 8th edition, around the time 8th edition was released.
Wow, 6th edition. Has it really been that long since Dix edition was out?
Yeah, I think because when I started, Storm of Chaos was a new thing that was going on. So it's about 10 years ago, yeah.
Wow, you know you're old when.
Yeah, time flies when you're having fun.
Or is that what it was? I thought it was world domination.
Yeah. But yeah, because I've also as I've also during while I've been playing Warhammer, there's been times when I was active as an outrider. I've done volunteer work for Games Workshop. I've had where I basically went to conventions and to give demos to mostly kids, and I've also organized lots of local tournaments in my local game store, which were always loads of fun to do, but they were always really small. I've played in tournaments a lot, but I've never been really successful. I've also always been more of a fluff gamer. I don't really, when I make a list, I mostly I can't resist taking the stuff that I like instead of the stuff that's actually good. So I've went to tournaments a lot, but never really like ended up on top tables or anything.
Well, it can be a little complicated with Skaven getting that far.
Yeah, there was a time when they were a top tier army though, especially in sixth edition with the Jezreels and everything.
Well, definitely. In 6th edition, I won an Elf army from Games Workshop for winning a tournament. So, yeah, I completely agree with that statement.
Yeah. Yeah, but I've never like been the guy that once you realize that, oh wait, Jezreels are really good, I'm gonna buy 20 Jezreels. I've never worked like that. I'm like, I know Jezreels are good, but I really like the look of a Stormvermin unit, so I'm gonna try and build a good Stormvermin unit, even though I know it's gonna be difficult. And
Well, back in
that's,
six, it were
yeah, they
clan
weren't.
rats, slaves, and assassins for me, really.
Yeah, assassins were good though. I had assassins, but they had cool models, so that was okay. Actually converted a lot of assassins back then with like I made jumping assassins like they were on flying poles and like because they were like. I've actually seen someone make an assassin that was like disguised as an ogre. He was on stilts and everything.
Really? Have you got a link for that? That'd be great.
Yeah, I'll try to find a link though. I really remember it was a really good conversion. But yeah, that's basically my history. I've been. I don't know how many listeners we have that. Go on that don't visit the Under Empire, but I've been moderator and admin on the Under Empire as well for quite a while, and I've still have some really old topics that are under my name for that are like in the entrance tunnel and everything. I think they're still around. But I've since since the release of 8th edition, I've stepped down and I've spent more time playing 40K, and I recently started 30K, but then I also got back on the Under Empire and started reading stuff, and now I'm kind of excited for Age of Sigmar again, which is basically why I'm here. I'm getting excited about Skaven again. I'm thrilled by the fact that there's still a podcast that's available for Skaven players, and I'm I've offered like if to be like if because I have enough free time to co-host the show if it's if it turns out that way, and so hopefully we'll see. You'll see me on other episodes.
Did you actually introduce yourself? I'm not really sure you did.
My name, you mean? Or
Yeah.
yeah, it's also it needs a bit of probably needs a bit of an explanation because I'm Dutch, and you're like everyone knows like Skaven Dan. And I'm my name's like also Dan, but it's the Dutch version of it. So you say it like Dan, and I've never really heard a native English speaker say it correctly.
Yeah, it's like when you're like, oh, come on the pod of that. I have no idea how to say your name, dude.
Yeah, so it'd probably be okay if I just if we come if I call myself Bodacious on the episode or Boda or something, we'll figure something out that works. Dan
Yeah.
is probably not going to be it.
It's Dan and Dan.
Yeah.
How much beer have you had? Can you remember who's talking? So,
Yeah, but yeah, maybe we should get on to the. We can. Oh, you haven't mentioned what you've been up to for the past 6 months.
me, I've been trying to make money, not argue with government, general things. I've played some Age of Sigmar, I've played some Ninth Age. I've still not unwrapped my Thankwall, sat on the shelf in his cling form.
The new Thankwell, the Thankwell Bone Ripper monster
Yeah,
bone.
I've got the Thankwell End Times book. I've got a Skaven Vermin Lord, and I've got a Thankwell model, all there, still in the cling film, sat on the shelf. So I'm just
They didn't survive the Great Depression of the last episode.
the Great Depression. It weren't that depressing, dude.
Was a bit depressing, though.
Well, everyone just quits Warhammer, isn't it? It's just like fucking. Cold turkey, Dan. Cold turkey. There's no one to play anymore.
Every other episode was with a guest on it, and with quite a like enthusiastic like discussion, and then the last episode was just maybe 20 minutes of just you talking, losing all hope.
You did end with like Minas Morgul, Mos Goleth. They're all like that.
Yeah, there wasn't even like an outro or an intro,
No, I couldn't
think.
be arsed, and it's a new year, so we're gonna go for a new
Yeah.
podcast and a new theme and a new everything, really. I don't mind if people want to use the same intro and revamp it or something, but we're gonna be, if you don't already know, there's already ideas in motion to run some competitions. So one might be to design a new intro for the Skaven Blight Radio.
Because the last intro you got from Glenlord Trask.
Yeah, it's Clanrod Trask with Rageaholic talking over it.
Of course, yeah. Oh, yeah, the with the talking over as well, yeah. With Glenlord Trask, he plays guitar, right?
Yeah, as far as I know, it was him.
It's actually him playing the song,
I do believe. I mean, that's the impression he gave me.
yeah.
We've got the audio file if anyone wants it to add to something and make something new. But we'll see because, like I say, whole new year, whole new podcast, new co-host if he decides to stick around.
Yeah, probably will.
Yeah. So you've been reading into Age of Sigmar, have you?
Yeah, I've been reading the books, the books that they've released so far. Because they've so far, I think there are two different types of books in Age of Sigmar. So far you have the Battletomes and the Grand Alliance collections. And the Battletomes, they're for races specifically. They have lots of fluff and lots of story and background for the races themselves, which I haven't delved that much into because we don't have a Skaven Battletome yet. But I've looked into the campaign books and the main, the mighty, the it's a, I think it's just the big rule book, I think, but it's they've they it, the only title it has is Mighty Battles in an Age of Unending War. But I've been reading those books and I kind of like I've come back from my opinion on the game since reading them, because at first I was like I guess most people, I thought it was the stupidest thing ever to just ditch Warhammer Fantasy like they did, and so that, and that was, since that's so hard to take if you've been a fan for the of the setting for so long, to then immediately embrace the new game that's got coming in its place. But now that I actually took the time to read some of them, and of course we were 6 months we're 6 months ahead, so yeah, there's you maybe like the game's obviously not going anywhere soon, so why not look into it? And I kind of like what I'm reading so far.
I haven't really read a lot of the fluff for Age of Sigmar, to be honest with you. Other than I know the outlying thing of the world is shattered, blah blah blah. Everyone's got their own world, blah blah blah. It's
Yeah, the winds of magic have each have their own realm. I kind of that's a point that I actually think is is an improvement on the on Age of Sigmar, because the old world, like I've used to I've been frustrated with it in the past, because Warhammer is one of the unique things about Warhammer and the games like Games Workshop makes, is that in the settings, especially with 40K, and like also with they really want you to make build an army of your own dudes, you know, your own models, and they want you to be able to paint your models in any way and still have it make sense. You can paint your ogres purple and they should still work within the universe. But with in 40K, that's more the case than it is with it's been with Warhammer Fantasy, because the old world is a pretty defined place. You have a map and there's like the in the borders of the countries, and there's when you look at it, there can only be so many people living there. And in stories, they've always changed. They've always been really flexible with how many people actually live in a certain area of the map, and how long is the distance between this city and that city. It's always is diff it differs from book to book.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty underlying feeling for Warhammer, isn't it? It's there's not enough of an empty zone for new things to inhabit, so
Yeah.
fuck it, destroy the world and make new worlds, so there's plenty of room.
Yeah, so and that's kind of like okay, it's sad that they had to really destroy the old world to do it, but at least they fixed that. So with the new mortal realms that they introduced for each wind of magic, there's they're explicitly telling, or I don't know where it's probably in the introduction or something, but there's actually like they almost literally say from the mortal realms are so big, there's nothing that you can, there's almost nothing that you can't model, that you can't paint on a model, or that you can change. Like there, it probably exists in the mortal realms. There's, if you're painting something in a certain way, and You can walk into any game store and people won't be able to tell you that's not a good color scheme that you chose, or that that's a silly conversion idea, because they're literally saying the model ramps are so big, everyone can make anything they want and it'll probably make sense.
It's good to allow people the creativity to do what they want within the races, really.
Yeah. And it's one of the beauty, the great things about Warhammer for me as well, that you get freedom in their world to make your own story, and that's what they're really enforcing in this new game. So it's a lot more than they did with Warhammer Fantasy. So I kind of like that idea behind Age of Sigmar as well.
Well, I suppose that's a slightly subjective on how you receive the Age of Sigmar, I suppose.
Yeah, it's gonna be subjective either way. So, but the what, yeah, and the story they tell in the books, they focus on a main storyline. So they also addressed like the another thing that's a big step away from the old world is that it's not a constant state of a game anymore. It's not good. In the old world, it was always 5 minutes to midnight, and it was always just before the doomsday, just before the end times, basically. And everyone could, like, every battle you play was supposedly, yeah, be happening right before, like, everything came together in this setting. Well, with the new game, they've deliberately chosen to advance the timeline, which basically is a smart move from a marketing standpoint, as you can keep releasing new content without trapping yourself in having to release a new edition every time. You can just release a new continuation of your story and introduce new miniatures that way. You don't have to retcon everything anymore.
Yeah, it's a nice idea in theory. We're gonna have to see how well it stands up after there's been a fair few releases for Age of Sigmar. No, we're still waiting for a big Skaven drop to see what's happening with them as far as models are concerned.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited for that as well, because I think the Skaven have a lot of potential, and they've gotten a lot of love in the campaign books as well. Because the new Balance of Power book that came out, it has at least two big scenarios that revolve around Skaven, and the quest for Gal'Marez, campaign book, it has, I think, three scenarios with Skaven in them, or at least and there's a lot of story that they really dedicate quite a yeah, pretty significant amount of pages to just talking about Skaven characters and new Skaven warlords that are becoming known in the mortal realms. They have a scenario. It's called the Battle of Argent Falls in the Realm of Metal. That's Skaven versus Stormcast, and it's mostly Clan Scryer, where they introduce like several characters as well. It's kind of the first battle that Skaven really get in the book. And then later in the Realm of Life, there's a lot of Skaven attention. Like, the Skaven play a really big role in the battle for the Realm of Life, where they have a Vermin Lord Corruptor, and there's a Clan Pestilence clan, or like a brotherhood of the Red Boil, they call it. That's that's helping the kind of aiding the Nurgle troops in that area, but they're also like working on their own agendas, of course. And the cool thing that they've given Skaven, but they haven't given really anyone else, is and it's a funny little story as well. In the new Balance of Power book, they've confirmed that they actually have a really big splash page for it as well, for where they have they say that the Skaven are the only race that can travel between the realms without the use of the realm gates. Are they, because they have a way to create like gnaw holes through reality or something like that. I haven't read the topic, but there's a preview image on the Age of on the Age of Sigmar Games Workshop website, where you can see like the different realms and then the spaces in between like crawling with rats. And it's pretty cool that apparently they've given Skaven again this really powerful story dynamic or like way of getting around and being able to be anywhere, basically. Like, it implies as well that like chaos and the Chaos Alliance can't really get to Sigmar's stronghold because Sigmar is in the realm of heavens and he's closed it off against invaders because he closed the realm gates and now he's holding the realm gates with his Stormcast Eternal, of course. But he's but they, yeah, they're basically Chaos has no way of getting to Sigmar without going through those realm gates. Well, now they've implied that the Skaven actually do have the ability to travel to the realm of heavens just by apparently gnawing through reality. So I still have to, as I've said, I've just started reading the past week, so I haven't read everything yet, but the more I read about it, the more I kind of want to know, and it won't take long, I think, before I start building my Skaven again as well, and maybe probably looking into getting some of the books for myself and giving them a proper read through.
Well, I'm sure there'll be plenty in there. It's an interesting prospect that the Skaven can get to him where no one else can.
Yeah, and it's funny that they're supposed to be the like allies to the chaos followers, because they've been grouped in with chaos. So everyone's been like telling them that, oh, the Skaven are now totally the subservient to chaos, and they're not really their own independent race anymore. Well, apparently they somehow have the ability to move between all the realms, but they even the realm of heavens, but somehow the Skaven haven't given this to like Archaon or anything. What if Archaon has allies that can get to the realm of heavens, why hasn't he why hasn't he done it yet? So apparently the Skaven have their own game going on as well again, which is always nice to see.
Yeah, it's you gotta wonder what they think they can actually do against Stormcast, really, so.
Yeah, I think, well, it's when you read the books, those Stormcast, they seem like some kind of invincible force, but as the more you read the books, the more it like explains how they're really just still pretty much normal humans, just in magical big armor, and but the armor can still be cut by blades and stuff, and they can still get bogged down and swarmed over. In the new book, they actually lose a lot of battles.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Age of the Balance of Power book, it's a bad time for the Stormcast Eternals. Not every they get put down, or they accomplish objectives, I think, but they it also there's also a moment in the new Balance of Power book where because Archaon, he's now joined the fight, as it were. He's gotten out of his armchair, and he's taken notice of like the Stormcast Eternal and how they started to retake those realm gates. And he also so there's so there's a battle between Archaon and I forget his name, Vandis Stormhammer or something, or at least the one of the main Stormcast characters. And of as is usual with Archaon, by now he really he kills the Stormcast guy almost immediately after, like, the Stormcast guy starts fighting with the mount first, with Archaon's like Chimera dragon thing. And then as soon as like Archon makes one strikes once with his blade, it's the Stormcast guy is falling apart. And there's actually it's a it's I don't and I have the I don't have the book in front of me right now, so I can't really read the passage, but it's a pretty brutal brutal description that they give.
And then he was smitest.
Yeah, they go into like how he stabs the Stormcast guy with his sword, and the Stormcast guy starts coming apart and all his guts start falling out. And but then because he's a Stormcast, they transform into this lightning that goes up amongst the heavens. But then Archaon, being like the chaos guy, he slows time so that it's the lightning goes upwards really slowly, and then he strokes his hand in between the lightning to like give it a bit of corruption before it goes.
Yeah, corrupting lightning sounds like a unique skill trait.
Yeah.
So, have you got any experience with the Ninth Age at all?
With Ninth Age, I haven't. I've checked the website. I haven't played it so far, but it's. They have like a beta version out now for all the army books.
Yeah, well, it's very much unfinished at the minute, I believe. My friend went to play a Ninth Age tournament not long back, and as he put it, he got the wooden spoon, meaning he did totally shit. Because it's just some of the combinations are just so. They're not what you expect. It's like in 8th edition, like Mournfangs had a 2-up save and were toughness 4. Now the toughness 5 have a 2-up save, but there's no really easy initiative spell that just kills all ogres. So, while some things have been made stronger in other respects, it's a nightmare because, there's no spell to just get rid of them. You can't just go, well, I'm going to cast this down your entire battle line, and boom, your ogre arm is gone. So, yeah, I think Ninth Age has some promise, but we're going to have to wait and see how it turns out and what the final cut is. I'm not going to hold my breath too much because it's run by the former EDC, which is now Ninth Age Division, I suppose is the best way to put them. And
Yeah.
I've never particularly liked Skaven, so
Yeah, I see they I've been reading a bit on the army, the free download PDF they have. And
yeah.
it has some improvements at least. The Vermin Lord has gone down in points, at least. And it's
Yeah, but now he's not a vermin lord, is he? Now he's a demon, so he can't flee at all. Like before, he could flee from combat and rally. Now he's a demon, so he's subject to instability. So,
course, yeah.
yeah, it's cheaper in one point, but he's never going to flee and rally, so he's either wins a fight or he dies now. So, yeah, it's, there's a lot to take into consideration with it. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see, I think,
Yeah.
is going to be the general consensus with that. Because, as they say, they're still in beta. I don't want to prematurely pass judgment. I have said that the ETC is a good comp pack previously, so fingers crossed they'll sort something out for Skaven, but.
Well, the good thing about it is if anyone is going to carry this along long enough to actually get a community going, then it would be, I guess, the EDC people. Since, as far as I know, most people in my area, at least, they were abiding a lot by the ETC comp rules and they were constantly building armies with ETC gaming in mind because it was such a popular event.
Yeah, but in their own vein of in the rules that they've written, they've undermined some of the core rules that they implied in the ETC comp. So it's a matter of overcoming these hurdles that Games Workshop set that they have now taken on themselves and gone, well, this is stupid, so we're not going to do it. But in the same time, it's completely screws some armies up. Like
Well, that's the problem as well, isn't it? With because they're literally trying to fix something that Games Workshop supposedly like screwed up. But on the other hand, like you're now they're finding out, they might find out how difficult it actually is to balance a game like Warhammer. And the reason that GW probably gave up on it.
Well, I think they gave up on it because I thought it was an easier option, to be honest with you. Everyone always goes for the easy option, don't they? Surely. But I think that I think if anything stops the ETC balancing things out, it'll be bias in the ETC. It won't be that it can't be done because clearly everything has a point in which it's all right. I mean, they're already going to nerf slaves, don't get me started. So it's like
Yeah, which you added on the last podcast as well. Like,
Did it?
yeah, I think you were onto that as well because you were talking about Ninth Age and how you've always disliked the treatment of slaves.
It's not that I dislike the treatment. It's like it's so undue. It's like they act like slaves of this mega game-changing event, which is a load of fucking bullshit. But the ETC is going to do exactly what the Age of Sigmar did. The Age of Sigmar has just written slaves off completely. It's just like slaves are obsolete because in a game where any unit is based on being a unit, why would you choose slaves over storm vermin? Storm vermin are superior in every way.
Yeah, it's the downside of not having the only selling point for a slave, the only reason to take slaves was because of their low point value. That's the only benefit that they had. Like you could just have a wound, a model with a wound for 2 points. That was worth it just for the low cost of it. But now that they've done away with costs, then why would you ever take one? The only reason why you would take slaves, I guess, now would be to just do a really like silly scenario maybe, or write some kind of and that's why I need to get into Age of Sigmar, because I think lots of the battle plans they have, because they have I don't know if you read the books, but they have a lot of cool scenarios that they've brought out, and that are specifically written to make you use certain units that you wouldn't use otherwise. There's an in the in the last book, or in the Balance of Power book, I think I read one as well that had the Skarbrand model, the new Skarbrand model that they released, and there was a scenario in which you could you were the one player was playing Skarbrand and the other player was playing Lissaman, or Seraphon as they're now called, but the Lissaman player wasn't allowed to use monsters or like war machines like this, the Stegodon, and the you can basically only use infantry. And but he could use lots of them. Like there, you could use like multiple big units of Lissaman, and the objective was to keep for Skarbrand to reach a certain portal or something. It was a fun scenario, and I think if they write more stuff like that, they could probably also write one for that would make it really interesting to use a huge swarm of slaves, or a single unit of slaves that has a like a very specific role or something. As long as they write a cool scenario for it, any unit can be usable in Age of Sigmar now. You just have to you have to be into the story, I guess.
Yeah, I just don't really see them doing it. It's so like the copyright war thing, isn't it? It's just they just want to do away with things that are a point of contention, which is having millions of models and having to use Games Workshop stuff, and they want to do away with proxying so that you're actually using official models.
Yeah.
Which is the same argument for them doing away with formations, because if you don't have a square, then you don't have a proxy ship, and if you don't have the
I'll
same
never.
bases, so yeah.
Yeah, but I'll never be the first person to deny that they've changed this game to suit their money making needs. Of course, the whole thing, every difference from that Age of Sigmar has from Warhammer Fantasy is a decision that's obviously been made to increase sales, or to try and increase sales. And if I think that if they succeed in building a community out of Age of Sigmar, that community is probably going to be likelier to purchase models, just because the game has changed in that way. To me, it makes sense though, and it's not because but it's probably a discussion for another time. But I think it's because they stopped using the point system, it's going to be more attractive for people to buy more models and buy more different models as well.
It definitely has its pluses and minuses. I mean, this comes back to what we were talking about before, where I said back in like 4th edition, where you had that allies system, which allows you to dip into other races and take things and be more interesting, and you know, just in generally just spice it up a bit. But yeah, it's like you say, isn't it? It's only time's going to tell how it's going to shape out, really.
I'm at least gonna try and get some, 'cause but you had some actual games, right?
Yeah, I played two games of Age of Sigmar. I played I think both actually. I used my latest ETC list, and we just took it just because we didn't know what we were doing, and we just figured we'd try it out. And I think going into it blind, it's quite all right because you don't know what the things are and everything else. The problem becomes once you've had a couple of games and you know what the crack is and you start tailoring, it just gets a bit out of our hand. I mean, we even used the Moorhammer comp from the Warhammer Orge forum, and even applying that, storm vermin just kill everything. Big units of storm vermin and a battle standard bearer that plants his flag, it just kills everything because you're re-rolling ones. If you outnumber your opponent, you're hitting him on threes rather than fours. You're wounding on threes rather than fours because you have a halberd anyway. It just becomes ridiculous. You've got two attacks each, you attack within 2 inches. It's more like 40k than fantasy, and it's just like, yeah, I've got all these dudes, we're in X range. Yeah, it's about 40 dice. I'll roll them. I'll re-roll ones. Oh, you're dead. And it.
Well, because now what I think as well was, wasn't it like the, because I haven't played any game, so it's and so I'm still really looking forward to actually playing the game sometime, and I haven't read been so up to date on the rules either. But is it true that like models don't really have a toughness anymore? So the strength of your unit, it works against like almost any model.
Well, the easiest description for this is the Warp Lightning Cannon, right? For the Warp Lightning Cannon, you roll a d6, right? And then every dice you roll after that d6 has got to beat the original dice roll. And as long as they do, you wound. And the wound is unsavable because it's a Warp Lightning Cannon.
Yeah, so
So if your
it
first
doesn't matter.
dice roll is a one, you can't fail. So basically, you're going, I'm going to shoot that demon there. Oh, I rolled a one. I can't fail. That's six mortal wounds. And there are a lot of things in the Skaven Arson that deal mortal wounds. Warlock engineers are amazing in Age of Sigmar. They have more attacks, they are stronger, they can shoot their pistol before combat. It's fucking insane.
You see as well in the images and the things that they're pushing on the website, those are the models that they're trying to sell as well, like the storm vermin, and also like the warp fiends.
I didn't really use them because I didn't really need to. It was just like I ran my storm vermin into things and just chopped through them. And then when we changed his lists and tried again, I took 2 units of 30 storm vermin, two battle standard bearers, two seers, two engineers, and then 56 giant rats. Right? And let me tell you, when you have 56 giant rats and a pack master, it's somewhat like
And one pack master.
everyone within 3 inches gets to make an attack. But because there's 56 of them, it's hitting on twos. We're like three attacks each. Just like, what? And it's like, yeah, you know modifiers to armor, but you've got. Seriously, I like picking it like 120 dice and just going like, "Do I just take them off?"
Yeah,
Because it was just like, "I'm going to cut through them eventually."
rather, I think that's well, at that point you run into like the premise of the whole premise of Age of Sigmar now, is that that's that way of thinking, just like find out which units are the best and then take those units, that's not really the way they want you to play the game anymore.
I understand that, but from a hardcore gamer perspective,
Yeah.
that was like, right,
It's silly.
what do I take? How do I win? Because on one side of the battlefield, you've got 230 storm vermin, 56 giant rats, and on the other side, he had two Imperial Arcanums, and he just rolls three dice, and he consults a chart, and that's how many people die. And that is even more fucking ridiculous than anything else I ever saw in Age of Sigmar. Because it was just like, I roll one dice, okay, it says roll two dice on the chart, 17 people die. And it was just like that. It was just like, alright, so if you fire that cannon, is it any different? It's like, oh no, it's no different. And I was like, well, on turn one, why don't you just shoot my cannons? And it's just like, oh look, I've auto-killed your cannons. Take them off.
Yeah.
And then next turn, I chaff you up, I auto-kill your fucking infantry. And it was just like that. And it's just like, because although the giant rats are good when there's 56 of them, once you get down to about 25, they're crap. But storm vermin, as long as they outnumber you, they will cut through you like butter. And that was the most annoying thing, because storm vermin is supposed to be like marginally on par with empires like Albedeia's, but they're so much better than swordsmen, Albedeia's, any of the fucking infantry for the Empire.
It's and you don't see the Empire featured any like a lot anymore in the books either, so it makes I think it's kind of what they're it might have something to do with them basically not wanting people to play Empire as much anymore.
Oh, you think they're just going to phase it all away, do you?
Nah, I don't know if they're gonna f they're probably going to phase every if you've got models that are older and they don't fit as well with the new epic fantasy style. I think they're probably going to get phased away because like the that's recent news. The Tomb Kings, they're on the way out.
Yeah, well, I think ogres and lizardmen are going as well, aren't they? Because isn't there something in one of the books that lizardmen are like this intangible thing? They're a dream more than reality.
Well, no, I don't think the Lizardmen are gonna go out because they've got their own book.
So do Tomb Kings.
The you they have the they're not called Lizardmen anymore, but they do have they brought out a battle tome for the Seraphon, which is their new name, and it goes it's got a lot of new artwork. It's got a lot of background, and they're basically, now they're like these celestial beings that come down from like that are also like they're kept mysterious. I haven't read them flicking through the battle tome right now, but it apparently the because the Slann they some of the Slann escaped from the end times, and
Yeah.
now that they that the And with the new Age of Sigmar and the new worlds, they're sending down the Lizardmen occasionally to do like the bidding of the Slann in the mortal realms. So it's sending so the Lizardmen often so they come down and they phase into existence in the mortal realms wherever they need to be, and then they randomly like join wars that the Slann want them to fight. Sometimes they help. The Stormcast or factions like that, but they some yeah, but they're kept very mysterious because the Slann themselves are mysterious as well. So it's but they're part of the forces of order. So I don't think the Lizardmen are going to get cut. And I don't even think the ogres are going to get cut because they're featured in the images in the books. But
Well, the ogres are always part of the Empire in 40K, so it's just going to get merged into the same bullshit. So, a lot of the units will get dropped, and some of the others will get kept. And there you go.
yeah, well, the Tomb Kings are the first to get the definitive axe in the new game. They weren't featured anywhere in the new artwork. They've
To be fair, I think the Chaos Dwarfs died first because
yeah.
in the story it was like, and we smite off these people we don't give a shit about.
Oh yeah, from the End Time story.
Yeah. We're just
Yeah, that
like.
all went a bit fast for me. I read the Thankwell book, but stuff that happened in the other books, I don't know much about it. So
Oh yeah, as chaos swept down from the north, it destroyed the fucking Chaos Dwarfs. So even though they are Chaos Dwarfs,
they got destroyed by chaos.
yeah, they were annihilated.
Wow. It sucks. I guess I think Forge must not have been happy with that.
They can't be selling that well, or they'd have probably popped it up.
Yeah, I think that's also like if the armies isn't selling well, it's also very likely it's on its way out. But I think it the best way to look at it is just by looking at the books that they brought out, the battle tomes and the campaign books, because most of the stuff that's in there, like if miniatures of a certain faction are featured in those books, they can't just cancel them a month later. Like for new players or new people getting into the Age of Sigmar, to just read, they're going to buy the campaign books and they're going to look and read about those models. And if they find out that, oh yeah, you bought that book a month ago, but now you can't buy those models even though they're featured in the book, it's not going to work. So everything that's in the books is going to stay regardless. And I've seen pictures of ogres, and I've seen there's been loads of things that just the main things that are missing are the dwarves and the Empire, although not everything from the Empire, because they have warrior priests and flagellants. They've used those models in certain images, but I think the state troops and those type of things, those are probably on their way out as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of things are getting merged or phased, or like you say, if it's not got a feasible place in the Warhammer world, it's going.
Yeah. As well as also, I think if the models are really old.
Yeah, well, that's a fair enough analogy, isn't it? It's really outmoded production that they're just gonna
Just
officially
be,
end.
yeah. You have to be honest. Like if we are shocked by the fact that when I say it's been 10 years ago since Storm of Chaos in sixth edition, then imagine how long we've had the Empire State Troop models.
Well, they're all a bit generic, aren't they? It's
Yeah.
yeah, they're not exactly fantastic models, so yeah, you imagine it's been a long time.
So I can imagine Games Workshop from like someone who's in charge of marketing or something. Like I can imagine them saying, "From why are we selling so much of these state troops while we're constantly releasing new epic models and no one's buying them, but they are buying the state troops? Why is that?" Can't we just make the game so that people buy the new models?
Well,
And I think that's what they tried to do.
yeah. Well, they always want you to buy the new stuff, don't they? That's a definitive point of a games company, really.
Yeah. And now people have more reason to, I think, as well, with the new rules and the new way things work. But yeah, I think because there's been lots of interest in the Age of Sigmar on the forums and stuff. We could continue to talk about this in future episodes, I think.
Yeah. So the radio then, yeah.
Yeah, because we were gonna, it was an idea of mine actually as well, to like have some more like clearly defined segments on the podcast, maybe trying to make it a bit more professional and easier to follow along, and also get some input on from the listeners on that one as well.
Yeah, if you have any questions, feel free to get in touch. You can use the website, you can use the Under Empire forum, you can tweet me at @SkavenDan. So, those are all means. I mean, we only set up Twitter 2 days ago. We've already got a new Skaven fan who's into Age of Sigmar, so hopefully he's listening. Cha-ching.
Hopefully Dan hasn't been too negative to sour your appetite for the
Oh, it's so unfair. Storm
game.
Kings.
But anyway, just the important thing is basically we need to hear about the people who are listening to this. Because right now we were kind of operating in the dark, because we know that the site is getting page views and that the podcast is getting downloads, but we have no idea who's actually listening to it and
Yeah.
what they think about it. Are they listening to it and they're like, well, this sucks and I wish they'd do more, they talk less, or they have shorter episodes or longer episodes, or if they. And like you said, like, because we've been talking about this, and you're also like looking to make the podcast a bit more professional in the future.
Well, yeah, I want to make the podcast break even and run competitions. Basically, is what I've already said, which you were not privy to until now. But basically, all we know is that the people who listen live in 10 different cities in Europe. Doesn't really mean much to me, to be honest with you. If no one actually says we want to hear this content, we want to know about this. Can you do some Age of Sigmar cheat sheets? Can you do a comparison to Ninth Age? You know, if you tell us what you want, then we'll work on providing what you want,
Yeah,
basically, because.
we're gonna ask for, you can, of course, you can message like then us through the forums. You can contact us through the site and through the email, and now also with the Twitter. But we're also gonna try and put up some topics and some polls, I think, about future topics and what people want to see. Do people want to see more Age of Sigmar talk, or do they? Do our listeners are they more in the Ninth Age or Kings of War, or we don't know really. And we can go in either direction. So it's for us. I don't think for me. I think it won't be a problem to go in either direction. If people want to hear more about Nine Inch, I'll read up more on that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I've played Ninth Age and I've played Age of Sigmar thus far, and I've got a friend who wants me to play Kings of War, so I can do a bit of everything, and I can do a comparison between the three, really, if people are interested in that. But like we say, if you don't let us know what you want, then you're just gonna get what we choose to provide you with, which will be insane ramblings. But I'm sure as soon as competitions get involved and things like that, that people are going to start actually responding. So,
Yeah.
question is, when do we decide to start running the competitions? And what do we do for his first competition?
Yeah, and that's also like we need suggestions, I think. That's the main thing I think we have to get now is listeners to give some input and maybe tell us like where we need to focus on. Otherwise, Yeah, we're just gonna, we can probably fill, we'll fill the we'll fill up the podcast anyway, but it'd be nice to know that people actually, that we're actually talking about someone that people are interested in.
Yep, I can totally agree with that. No one wants to listen to crazy people talking crazy on the internet. So that probably brings us to the next section then, which is stuff we were going to highlight on the forum. So.
Because that's something we still want to keep doing, because you did that on the podcast before. Just like that each of us picks a topic on the Under Empire and we just talk about it for a bit.
Yeah, I think it's a fairly staple of the podcast recently, so why not?
So let's so we can, in continuing in that tradition of selected a topic which was in the fantasy skirmish rules discussion, and it was from a user which whose name alone makes this topic worth mentioning, is Jammerlama, and he made a topic about his recommendations for playing Age of Sigmar. He's basically been the first person I've seen on the forums that has actually been, yeah, positive about the game and was looking for people to discuss to discuss actual lists and stuff. So we both read the topic, and I think for people who haven't read it yet, it's, yeah, he has some good points. So do you think it'd be a good idea to read it? On the
I think I know who you're referring to. Yeah, it's. I mean, I think the problem you have, the main issue with Age of Sigmar is that in ultra competitive areas where people are used to playing pro gaming, like the top of the serious scale, is that is where the Age of Sigmar tends to come a ruck. I don't even pretend to know how you pronounce this guy's name, but in his post, give you six very like reasonable statements that basically you and your opponent should decide not to be dicks, and that you should play Age of Sigmar fully and just try and have a bit of fun by using the full rules and, giving it a full go without being judgmental beforehand. Which is a perfectly reasonable stance, to be honest with you. And like I said, the first couple of games of Age of Sigmar I had, I actually thought that Age of Sigmar might be alright. I actually thought that maybe I could come to like this. But it's not until you start reaching some of those hard barriers that you start to realise that in certain situations, if no one's going to stand in and say, I am the law, this is how it's going to be, then you're gonna have issues. So yeah, if you can play it in a non-ultra competitive market, if you can play it just as a game between friends, like reenacting a battle or reenacting a sequence or the end of the world, then yeah, I think it can be fun, but it's at what point does that become obsolete compared to ultra gaming, really?
Yeah.
But he makes some solid points, and I even try to be civil. That's a fucking novelty there, isn't it? Yeah, I applaud your patience for what can be a very broken game. Fucking sums it all up in one sentence.
All that restraint that must have taken.
Yeah, it really did, to be honest with you. And you pushed it after me, actually. I didn't realise till looking now.
Yeah, I was a bit more positive because he was actually, that's why I picked this topic, is this guy is basically telling me what I want to hear, that the game has still has potential, and as long as you can change your mindset and realize that it's never going to work as a competitive thing, then then it still might be fun. And because his point is his points are really like saying things like embrace the Age of Sigmar storyline as it will enhance your gameplay. It is an evolving storyline which is making like people read more, and like that's the way I've been playing Warhammer all along. I've never been good at the game competitive wise. I've always preferred reading about my army and about the world, and then from the things that I read, then after digesting that information, then I decided and figured out what I wanted to buy and what I wanted to field on the in my army. And then obviously I came to the conclusions that that never worked and I just had to buy more Zales. But it's but if Age of Sigmar can actually get me to think like that again, and act, if it can like dial back at least a bit on the on people's competitive like instincts, I can probably have some fun games with friends, and that's the key here, I think. If you have friends that are really competitive gamers and that are like planning on of really centered around tournament play and have a history of tournament play and looking for like the broken units and the good, the points effective things, then obviously Age of Sigmar is never going to work for that. If people enjoy that aspect of the game, because that is totally an aspect in Ninth Age and Kings of War and in old Warhammer, that list building is a can be fun. I mean, building a like spending time looking through the rules and figuring out which things are really effective for the points, or which like tricks you can find which kind of abuse the rules or let you go around like certain units' downsides. And then if you enjoy that kind of activity, then Age of Sigmar is not going to work anymore. But I personally, I never really enjoyed doing that. I always did it out of necessity. And now with Age of Sigmar losing the point system and basically saying, you're never going to play this game competitively, so just stop thinking about how you're going to maximize your army and start thinking about what would you actually like to feed, which models do you actually like. And that like captures me a lot more than the line of thinking I get from like the Ninth Age people and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think there's definitely an edge to it. I mean, I have been very competitive, I suppose, without really thinking about it too much. And I do help my friends hone competitive lists. So, to a certain degree,
Well, it's a good thing to have two different views on the podcast.
yeah, well, that's what it's all about, isn't it? It's diversity. I mean, I don't particularly enjoy Age of Sigmar. I'm not going to lie about it. I've tried it. I tried to like it. While you don't understand the rules, it can be quite new and fresh and enjoyable. But as soon as you start to see the gaping holes in what is and is not silly, then yeah, it all starts spiraling out of control. But I think if you're just going to have a laugh and do some reenactment battles and stuff, then yeah, it can be quite good. I don't think that scenarios make up for points. I mean, long ago, someone tried to tell me that in 40K that scenarios made up for points,
Yeah,
and I always said that that was bullshit. And it was, I always went back to this one game where you went, "Oh, do you remember that game where I had one guy left on one objective?" And I went, "Yeah, but if we're talking about scenarios, I was playing the swarm and I killed everyone except from your one guy. And in another turn, your one guy would have been dead. So you can talk about holding your mission objective all you want. If it had gone on one more turn, I'd have won and the swarm would be happy. So it's all swings and
Yeah.
rounds about if you want to bring mission objectives into who won a game. But I mean, it has its pluses and minus points over everything else. I think it's such a radical shake up on what we had before
Yeah. And
that.
we're in it 6 months now. They've not even released half of the armies that they're, or half of the factions that they're going to include eventually. And I think it's too soon to say as well, like the actual direction they're gonna go in. It could at any time they could just decide, okay, now we're going to release Age of Sigmar expansion where there's actually points, or they can release a book next week which has which suddenly has point costs in it for War Scrolls, and that it. We don't know. No one knows, and they can change that, I think, when they want. If they really find out that it's not working, they can just release and they can sell it as an expansion or something. So
Well, that'll happen after a really big shareholder meeting where
yeah.
someone goes, "What the flying have you done to this company?" And someone will run out of that office screaming, "We need to hire some guys who've got an A level in math stats to crunch some numbers for points values."
Yeah.
Because that's basically what'll happen.
Well, that's it can it can I can see it. I can see anything happen with Games Workshop lately, so I wouldn't be surprised if anything like that ever occurred.
Well, I think we've already seen a backtrack because they've already like released 8th edition again
Yeah,
as a
that's
legacy
true.
game. I think that is in response to the backlash.
Yeah, because they made it available again on the web store. They didn't actually officially release it, but suddenly it was there again. It was available from the store, so
Well,
that's kind of a like a can they it was a kind of a way to tell that they were kind of feeling the backlash.
but the thing is, they never needed to get rid of 8th edition. They tried. What they've tried to do is they've tried to force Age of Sigmar on everyone. And the thing is, no one's embraced it. Because
No.
it was free, a lot of people that were reluctant to embrace it anyway have been reluctant to embrace it because it's Age of Sigmar. We don't need to embrace it. We don't have to embrace it. It's not cost us anything. We can read the rules and go, it's not so good. Because at the end of the day, it's really not. So it's just like, well, at what point do they start to realize that?
Yeah, and but that's also like I don't really know. No one knows, I think, really how that company works, but the and every and from all I've seen so far is that they're incredibly headstrong, and they're probably gonna do what they think is right anyway. And the only way they're going to change something about this is if the sales numbers aren't go on are doing bad, if the sales numbers show that the game's not doing well, then that's the only way they'll probably change it.
Yeah, when it gets
And
to
if
the
they're those
point,
numbers.
when it gets to that point where the End Times sold better than Age of Sigmar, someone's going to start going,
Yeah.
why?
But did you how do you know those numbers? Have you heard of anything about that? Because I haven't absolutely no idea how.
I can't say for definite. The only thing I can say with absolute certainty is that Wood Elves sold out in a week of release and no one at Games Workshop expected it.
At your Games Workshop store, your local store.
No, at Games Workshop HQ. No one at Games Workshop HQ expects it, because I know a couple of people who work there.
Oh, and they
They,
sold it on the web store.
yeah, through the web
Oh.
store, through the online orders, no one expected Wood Elves to sell anywhere near as much as it did.
Yeah.
And when it did, they were like, "Really? We're gonna have to put in another order for Wood Elves?" Because they have the thing now online where if it's sold out, you can register interest and it tells you when it's back in stock.
Yeah.
And so many people signed up to that that
Yeah, that's true.
they basically went, "We have to do another Wood Elf order because there is that much interest."
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it goes to show that they really don't know, and but they've admitted that as well. They don't do market research. They don't do customer. They don't know exactly who their customers are.
Yeah, but the reasons they give for these things don't make sense in their own. It's like they say that they don't do customer research because they don't have typical customers. They say that the people who buy their products are model collectors. Well, it's not fucking true, is it? Because people didn't buy Wood Elves because the fucking Glade Riders were awesome. Because they didn't buy Glade Riders. They bought the new ones, whatever they were called. Fucking. Oh, I can't remember what they were called. Silly naked elves riding fucking stags, that's what they were called.
Yeah.
And they bought them because they were strength 5 armor piercing on the charge with 3 attacks each, and they always strike first. So it were ridiculously strong. It were like, "I'm gonna hit you with a sledgehammer, just stand there, okay?"
Yeah,
You know?
and that's also something that I wonder, always wonder how much they realize that they have total influence about which models sell, and not if they just understand their own game. If they can consciously, like, influence rule books, then you're gonna know which things are gonna sell. If you make something good enough, it's gonna sell out, apparently.
Yeah, well, I think that is the plan, but I don't think the people
They don't have enough
responsible.
control over it. I don't know. I don't think they. I don't know if they realize exactly what they're doing and how they're doing it.
I think the problem is that it comes down to different people. The people who write the books are not connected to the people who make the models. And in the
Yeah.
same way, they are not connected to the management. So, you know, I think there's an underlying tradition of whenever a new book comes out, something becomes depowered and something else becomes awesome.
Yeah.
That, because that is the way that Games Workshop books have worked for the last 10 years. So I think that is ingrained in them, and you'll struggle to shift that. And that in itself is a motivator to push product. Because if that devaluing of a specific unit didn't happen, like say if the bomb wasn't nerfed, then it wouldn't change anything and sales would be shit, because you release these new models, people go, "Eh, I've got my bomb model, I'm fine, it's still awesome." So, what incentive is there for people to buy new models? I mean, it's always happened. In 6th edition, the Rattling Gun was ridiculously good. So, when the new book came out, the Rattling Gun was shit. I mean, I saw it coming a mile off.
Yeah,
It's
you
just.
figure they try to make the rat ogres good,
Yeah,
but
well, they did in a way, didn't they? They retconned them into Storm Fiends and said they were rat ogres on steroids and. You know.
they never really gave with the old rat ogre box. I don't think they ever gave anyone a reason to buy that one.
Yeah, it was woefully poor, wasn't it? Woefully poor.
But we would back to the topic that I was talking about. I think we've talked about it. But yeah, To me, I think it's nice, even if like people can, there are lots of people that don't like Age of Sigmar. Even if I haven't really tried it myself so far, I like I like the storyline and I like how that's evolving. But I haven't tried the game. I'm gonna probably try it in a couple of weeks or so. So maybe I'll talk about that on a future podcast as well. It's good to see that at least some people who are having good experiences with it. So
Yeah.
it kind of surprised me, and those kind of sentiments there, I have a feeling they're slowly trickling down the forums as well, for people starting to come in. And after like 6 months of only hearing people like gripe about it, I think it's surprising to see that now, after like the dust has settled a bit, that people are starting to be a bit more positive and say, yeah, well, as if you really change your own mindset, it's not a bad game, and it can actually make you have more fun with your models if you're so inclined to, yeah, like kind of change your mindset about it. So that's, to me, it's very good to hear. And so I like the discussion that we had about it, and that
I like the prospect of the change, but there are too many physical issues for me. Like,
yeah.
individually moving 240 models in a movement phase.
But I don't. That's the so not everyone's playing Skaven, of course, with Age of Sigmar, so it's not that
Yeah.
for everyone.
But we are a race specific podcast, so you know.
Yeah, I know. It's
Yeah,
we're gonna have to, if we're gonna go farther into Age of Sigmar, we're gonna have to discuss that at some point, like good ways to move your stuff around in Age of Sigmar.
ignore Games Workshop and stick to your unit of 40 fucking movement trays. That's what you do, and just shove your fucking movement tray up the table.
Maybe there's some tricks. I don't know. I've known a 40K player at our store who played 200 orcs, and he always had like he had numbers on the bases, so he could keep the units apart, and he had a really solid routine for moving his stuff around. I
Oh
think
yeah. Well, I've been there. I
he's
did.
practiced it a lot as well.
I did Tyranids in 40K. So it's like, yeah,
Or game players can make it work, so
there's a bazillion of them. But it's just, I miss flanking. You know, flanking's a proper thing. It's a proper strategy for grown-up boys.
yeah. poor Skaven, then. No.
I know, let me cry in a corner.
Show us on the clan rat where Age of Sigmar touched
Everywhere.
you. But no, it's yeah. Well, we'll see, I guess, in future episode how it's gonna go. From now on, we'll have alternatives. You have Ninth Age. You maybe even is you're gonna try Kings of War, right?
Yeah, it's quite probable that I'll try Kings of War and report back on Kings of War as well as
Yeah,
Ninth Age,
so
so.
we need to have some more information on that one. So I guess it's written by the guy who wrote the sixth edition army book.
Oh, really?
You didn't get that from Kings of War? It's Alessio Cavatore, the Italian guy who worked there for Games Workshop. Alessio Cavatore, he wrote the sixth edition Skaven army book, which I think is one of the best Skaven army books.
It was a pretty strong. Well, I won like four tournaments with that army book, so I can't really complain, can I? It's like,
But yeah,
yeah.
but he wrote that, and he helped develop the Kings of War rules. He also really endorses the Kings of War. He made some like comments. I think his quotes on their website as well.
No, cool. Well, shall
So
have to check all that out.
it could be really fun game, because he's really like he's a really heavy like he's a really dedicated games designer. He spends a lot. He has a lot of other games that he's designed as well. And from what I've heard, though, those are all like the rules that they use are all pretty balanced and quick and fun and stuff. He also worked on 40K editions as well. He's in 40K, you have the true line of sight rule. I don't know if you've heard about it.
Well, yes, it's an 8th edition, so yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course it's an 8th edition as well. Well, the true line of sight rule, it's like he kind of came up with that as well. He's the guy who we have that to thank for.
He's responsible for the sale of many laser pointers.
Yeah.
What do you mean I
Many
can't see
lasers,
him? Whing.
many large pieces of terrain and small dreadnoughts.
Micronaut.
I have a lot of faith in him, because I always really enjoyed, I think, the rules that he wrote, so with the things that I've known him to do. So if he's responsible for working on Kings of War as well, the game might actually be like really fun. It might not be it might not look as much like Warhammer as Ninth Age does, but it might have the spirit of Warhammer in it, maybe even more so.
Yeah, well, we will have to see, I suppose, on that mark.
Yeah.
Right, so my topic, I think, from the Emperor is most fitting that the EU is dying. Or EU, yeah. The European Union is dying, folks. Sorry, you heard it here
Yeah,
first.
you've heard it here first.
Or, I keep fucking saying that, don't I? Right, the Under Empire is dying, shall we say.
Yeah, it is.
Which is a topic which has 4 pages on, which just contests to how dead the forum is, really.
Yeah, in 4 pages, and it's
Four.
what was the time that it was posted first?
Oh, I don't know. Let's have a look. It was first posted on the 10th of January.
Oh yeah, 10th of January. Okay, yeah.
And the last post was today. So, the forum's dead, dudes. Don't go there. Totally dead. No, but seriously, if you go on the forum, I quite generally lurk on the forum, so if you want to catch us there, you can do. It usually says that there's about 15 guests on at any time. Right now, there are 11 guests and 2 members online,
Yeah.
which is me and my co-host, so there are 13 of us online at the minute. But generally, it's anywhere between 15 to 35 people online at any given time. So, it's not a dying sight, far be it. People are just really pissed off with the end times and the
Yeah.
whole change scenario thing. But all things come in swings and roundabouts, so I'm sure things will swing back around at some point.
Yeah, and like I also said, like the dust needs to settle on this whole change that Age of Sigmar brought about, because Age of Sigmar itself isn't really working well so far, or it's not really working fully as they intended it, and the kind of substitutes that we have in the meantime for getting our fantasy battle fix are Ninth Age and Kings of War, which are also still developing their rules. The Ratkin list for Kings of War also isn't really, they've released it, but it's not, they don't have a dedicated Skaven book or anything for it. And the Ninth Age people are also still in the beta, so
Yeah.
the everyone I think there's everyone's probably really waiting to see which way they have to go and which things they have to start getting excited about, basically.
So that just about wraps up this podcast.
Yeah.
So that's 2 hours of rambling.
Holy shit.
Yeah, you not realize,
Excuse
dude.
my Dutch.
So much for us not swearing. I think we've both broken the rule. But
Yeah.
yeah, we're looking to innovate and get things going. So
People should be able to get some painting done on this episode.
yeah, paint like you mean it. And
Yeah.
remember, yeah, topics, conversations, questions, if you got anything. And that's the end of this show. Thank you if you're still listening and you've made it this far. As always, if you'd like to give us any feedback or ideas, you can contact us at the Skaven Back website itself or via Twitter. You can contact me at Skaven Dan. We've got another of other means that you can contact us, which I'm sure will flush out in time being. Dan, where can people contact you?
Well, people can contact me through the Skaven Back Radio website as well. You can contact me through Twitter. I'm at Dan of War, Dan with double A. You can find my blog on Dan of War with hyphens in between .blogspot.com, and you can contact me through the Under Empire, of course.
And we'll put all that information on the website anyway. So for anyone listening who's struggling to write that down, don't worry about it. You can just click a link. Thank you for listening. That's the end of this episode of the Skaven Black Radio. If you have any feedback ideas, feel free to get in contact with the details we just gave you. And we'll catch you on the next one. Bye.
Bye.